Radio you can touch.
That can only mean one thing.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You seem to know all the players in this poorly acted farce. What do they call that one?
Bob Lutz.
I've known you your entire life. There's no one who knows less about football.
Jeff Lutz.
I think every bowl game from now on should be named after something you can put in a bowl. Like raisins, the Orange Bowl's fine, Sugar Bowl's okay, but no Tax Slayer Bowl. You can't put that in a bowl. You can envision a bowl of raisins.
You call yourself a man. I wait for you.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Welcome back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. We've got Bernie Miklas, St. Louis media fame, coming up at 3:20. I want to talk about the Cardinals.
And I want that clip played at my funeral.
What's that?
About putting things in bowls. I think that's good. I think that's a solid representation of my time on the radio. And
that's
here on
highlight?
And here on the planet. It's not necessarily the number one highlight, but I think it's a solid Jeff?
I got so many.
Who is Jeff? Here's one for you.
I don't know what we'd pick if I had to pick. I mean, we'd have so many choices.
Yeah, I won't pick.
What would you pick?
I don't think I'll pick.
What do you mean you don't think you'll pick?
I don't
pick?
Think I'll pick a radio clip for you.
What will you pick?
I don't know. Maybe some songs. Is there some songs?
Let me ask you this, and I'm sorry if this is too morbid for people. Would you do a eulogy for me?
Probably.
Really? You'd be composed enough to do it?
Yeah, that'd be fine.
Really? No emotion at all?
I didn't say that.
You just said, yeah, I'll be fine. With an indication that, yeah, it's not going to bother me that much.
Of course I'll do a eulogy. I did one at my mother's funeral, and that was far more tragic than I believe your death will probably be.
What does that mean?
Well, she was 56. You're already 70.
So age doesn't, it's a matter of how old you are when you die.
And she was extremely ill, and it was bad. So, yeah,
one could say, and I hate to get into this discussion, one could say there was more time to prepare. What if I just tonight?
I've been preparing.
What?
That was a joke. Calm down.
What? Do you feel comfortable joking about that?
I do, yes.
Why?
That's just the kind of, didn't you watch Jamie Foxx? Sometimes when you got to laugh to keep from crying. So it's fun.
You're not laughing to keep
from
crying.
I'm not keeping from crying, but gallows humor, I've never found anything wrong with gallows humor.
I just don't understand it.
If it's funny, there are a few topics that are untouchable for comedy.
How do you think I'd react if, lo and behold, something were to happen to you? How do you think I'd be able to?
I think you'd be crushed.
Think I'd be able to eulogize?
No, absolutely not. I'm not sure anybody would.
I've done quite a few eulogies in my lifetime. The one that sticks with me the most is for my friend Steve Harper, and that was recorded somewhere, and I've lost that recording. And you have to understand that with Steve, he would have wanted you to be irreverent, and I was, and I felt like I had the full authority and okay to do that, and I was honored to get to do that. I was very honored that Chris Davis, our friend, asked me to eulogize his father and my very, very close friend, Larry Davis.
Sure.
Did you ever meet Larry Davis?
No, I'm sure I did. I don't have a particular memory of it, but I had to have.
You didn't go with me to as many NBC games I was there all the time.
Yeah, but I went to a lot.
What'd you do?
Watch baseball.
Down in the stands? Or?
No, I was hung out with you in the press box quite a bit. Maybe not quite a bit.
At the NBC?
Yeah.
I know you did that at Wranglers.
NBC, I'm not saying I was there a bunch, but I have memories of it because I remember Midlothian so well and how much I enjoyed watching them. I believe I was in the press box, but maybe not. There are a lot of people at those games back in the day.
There are only a few people that you can truly say one of a kind about, and Larry Davis is one of those people. And so was Steve Harper.
Sure.
Why am I attracted to one of a kind people?
Are you? Are they attracted to you?
Maybe they are.
Who knows? Are you one of a kind?
I don't know. No. It's not for me to say. You'll certainly tell me I'm not.
I don't think so.
You'll certainly be the first to get in there and say no.
I might be, but...
Yeah, if I can depend on one thing to bring me down and put me in my place...
Doesn't that hurt? Isn't that rough on you that I'm always the underdog and I'm plucky and I get to say stuff? But when you say stuff, it's not viewed that way.
What do you mean?
You're being a bully in people's eyes when you take shots at me. When I'm taking shots at you, I'm fighting from underneath.
Well, I don't care. You can't hurt me.
It's a good dynamic for me.
Well, yeah, but you can't hurt me.
Great. Even better.
I mean, I've taken it all. I've built up a steel.
A fortress.
Exterior here.
I understand. I have in a lot of ways, too.
Not to the level of yours truly.
Not too far from it.
You haven't been chastised... And you haven't taken the heat I've taken.
Sure, but...
In my life. Let me just tell you that right now.
But it's still from people you don't know.
No.
A lot of times.
No.
So your friends have given you the business.
Well, it started when I was a kid.
From?
I don't want to get too deep, but right in my home.
Oh, interesting. Certainly never experienced that.
Experienced what?
Whatever you're talking about. Getting heat from inside the home.
Well, my mother gave me a lot of heat.
We had a very peaceful, loving home, of course.
Well, I think we did.
It was all right.
Well, I don't think I was that to that degree. And again, I'm not trying to blame any person. Because I turned out just fine, but... My mom was a piece of work. Let me just... She was one of a kind.
Most people are. I mean...
No, you're not.
I'm not?
No offense.
Who's like me?
I've met a million people like
you. Name one.
I don't know who they are, but...
There can't be that many.
Well, we're all one of a kind in a
literal
big picture way.
Right.
But in a real way, like, I've never met anyone like him.
I would say few. I'm not necessarily saying this is a badge of honor. A lot of times I wish I was a more fit-in type, but I'm not.
Well, who are you trying to fit in with?
No, I don't know, but I'm just saying I wish I saw the world in sometimes I've wished this, not often, but sometimes I just wish I saw the world like other people do.
Well, how do other people see it?
They see it normally, and I try to not. I don't know.
Oh, you're giving yourself too much credit.
I'm not trying to.
I'm sorry, Max. Who's on hold?
The long-lost Ryan Ray.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh. This is almost unbelievable. Our friend Ryan.
We know what he's going to say.
Has been in witness protection. Ryan, hello.
Yes, they caught the killer. So I'd like to make my re-debut here. But golly, just to hear these sounds here, understand that, you know, we never, I mean, I can't imagine the horror and the pain that you'd have, Bob, if you, you know, as a parent, never to bury their child. You know, I mean, I think you'd be inconsolable.
This is getting weird. It's going to get weird.
Let it get weird.
That's fine. I'm just saying. I just heard you guys, and I begged Max and said, get him up off the couch. Come on, get him off the couch, back in the sports arena. But no, it's a delightful conversation. And yeah, I know that Jeff could do it, and he'd do a fabulous job. He'd be honored to do your eulogy. But there would be some cracking of the voice, I promise you. And just those
let me ask you, Ryan.
Sure.
We're happy you called, but do you mind if I ask you a question?
I'd like that.
What have you been doing? Where you been? What's going on?
My new schedule is 4 days on and 2 days off, And so it has precluded my full attention to the show, but you've certainly been, watched and listened to on the Odyssey app. That's been easy to do. But then, you know, when I leaned in today for a little jive talk, it got jivey. And it's a valid conversation.
Always got a little jive.
You never know where we're going to go with jive talk.
Woo! I have two questions for you, Ryan.
Sir,
4 days on, 2 days off. So does that mean if you work Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then the next week you work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Right. 4 days off, 2 days on, 2 days. Yeah, no, it's a triangular schedule, and it was originally all the rage over in Sweden. So we're trying it in the U.S. So that's all I
like
speak
it
to. Yeah, no, it's a great time.
And my next question is: have you cut your hair? Please say yes.
Not yet, but it is going to happen soon. I just asked all the kids. I said, "Hey, do we want to take pictures? Because it's coming off." And I had one beg, no, and I said, no, it's gone. So, yes, there will be Christmas pictures this year after the 19th. I bet we'll have some pictures for the family. Oh my goodness, sans the
hair. He's turned a corner, and I'm happy to hear it.
Well, we're happy that you called us, and please do so as often as you can. Okay.
Bob, all the best. You guys keep it going, okay? Rock it out. Love you. Bye.
There you go.
Love you.
There's Ryan. Long time since we've heard from him. Always a pleasure.
I had lunch with him a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
My name come up?
No.
Well, that's a shame.
I don't know. Well, why are you worried about that? Why is that your first question? Why not? Hey, what'd you guys talk about? How's he doing?
I know what reaction I'm going to get.
Well, it's annoying.
That's why.
Just surprise me one time and say, oh, that's cool. How's he doing?
How was Ryan?
Yeah.
Why? What do you mean?
He was fine.
How long's the hair?
It's too long.
Like how long? Shoulder length?
Yeah, at least.
Really?
Yeah. It's not a good look. And I told him.
Well, maybe he likes it.
It's a midlife crisis kind of thing. And I'm okay with that.
Is the fact that I've kind of cut my hair a late life crisis?
I don't think so.
You know what it is? It's very simple.
Just don't want to deal with it.
Oh, it's so much easier.
Right.
Because you know when I get my hair growing, it's wavy and thick.
Yeah, Ryan's a good looking man. He doesn't need any accessory.
Am I a good looking man?
Sure.
Why do you laugh when you say it?
I didn't. You did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. That's a laugh.
It's a chuckle.
That's the same. It's the same thing.
It's a mild.
It's a chortle.
Chuckle.
Something like that.
Boy, we got all five shows next week. Remember when the Royals played? Preempted us occasionally?
That was fun.
I didn't like that at the time, but occasionally preempt.
It was one a week for a long time during the baseball.
Now you're off. You're off during the Christmas break, right? Christmas week.
Yeah, the next week after next. Yeah.
So you will not be here.
No, I'm laying out.
The following week, I will not be here.
Okay.
So you'll have to come up with three shows, and I'll have to come up with three shows.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to do a show on New Year's Eve or not.
I didn't hear that either.
Somebody's holding.
Somebody's holding.
Jeff is holding.
Jeff. Hello, Jeff.
Hello.
Jack. Whatever your name is.
You said Jeff.
Just start talking, right?
Good. I got to be quick because I got a guess. But who is this?
Well, this is Jeff.
Okay.
Take as much time as you need.
Well, I'm going to take something like that. You guys sound like you need something to talk about. But I don't know if you guys talked on this or not or touched on this, but this happened Tuesday night in high school sports, and I didn't know this was a thing. Bishop Carroll and East played a basketball game, the boys, and maybe you guys know about this already, but finished the game. The game was tied.
I did hear it.
And the game was tied at 54. They're getting ready to tip off for overtime, and the scores table calls the officials over, and they say, hey, we missed a point or added a point or something apparently the third quarter. The game's 53-54. This game's over, and East wins. And, I mean,
wow.
That's just how
Who was the home team?
East was the home team. And I just
so they have the home book.
I can't believe that would happen in high school sports. And I've heard from a couple different sources. I can't verify this because I didn't see the film. That people have watched the film and the score was indeed tied at 54 and they should have played overtime. So I'm not sure.
Unfortunately, you have to go with the home book in those situations. And yeah, if those at the scores table, hold on, Jeff, I'm trying to explain it to you.
Well, I think he knows that, but I think the controversy outweighs the rule. This is dumb. It's dumb.
Well, what are you going to do if the home book has it one way? There's not a whole lot you can do. That's people who keep the scorebooks and who run the scoreboards are supposed to compare scores periodically, certainly at the end of each quarter, and make sure they have it the same.
Therein lies the problem at the end of the quarter. And to me, they played this. If it happened in the third quarter and that's when the score got off, and once you get past the third quarter, if you start the fourth quarter, it's too late. You can't change it because it affects the way you play the game way too much. I mean, because Carroll or East down the stretch totally could have changed the way they play a game, which would have changed the outcome of the game. I mean, it's just
– Well, we'll see.
It didn't make sense. Like,
I don't know the details of when the point may have happened. We'll call Dale Faber and get his thoughts on it, but – I don't know enough to say that there was a mistake made.
Well, Jeff does.
Maybe. Thank you for the call. I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, you do.
Let's take a break. We're going to talk with Bernie Miklas after we come back. Listen, if they screwed up, then somebody needs to answer for it.
Well, they did screw up one way or another. Because they were going to go to an overtime, and then they weren't. So there's a screw-up somewhere.
Somebody messed up somewhere.
Right.
But if they rectified the screw-up...
That's not when you rectify. Jeff's point stands. You can't say at the end of the game, oh, we missed a point in the third quarter.
What if it was in the fourth quarter?
No. Once the game's over, the score on the scoreboard should be what it is.
We'll be right back.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
Here's Bernie Miklas, longtime media person in St. Louis. I would imagine you like Led Zeppelin, if I'm guessing your musical tastes correctly, which are all over the place, right, Bernie?
Yeah, all over the place. Yeah, I love Led Zeppelin. As a younger fella, I think I saw them in concert three or four times, out either in Baltimore or Washington growing up. Yeah, absolutely.
So you've started this YouTube channel, and you talk a lot about the Cardinals, some about the Blues, and some about Missouri football and different things, but a lot about the Cardinals, and I'm sure that drives the ratings. I watch every single one of them. I can't tell you what a void it fills, especially in these months. How popular has it become? How's it doing?
It's doing really well. You know, I going into it, Bob, I didn't know what to expect, like what's considered like a good audience or good numbers. And, you know, I'm up over 7,000 subscribers, and you know, this thing's been going on for like 3 months. And, you know, I was surprised to learn that if you get to 7,000 subscribers, you're like in the top, you know, the top 8 or 9% of all people that have a YouTube channel, you know? So, I mean, I was like, wow, then I'm doing better than I thought. But you hit on something, and I'll be real quick about it. Every now and then I get complaints, says we ought to talk more about this, more about that. It's the off season, you know, their Cardinals aren't even playing. And people with all due respect to them, they don't get it. Cardinals fans are passionate. They're intensely interested in the Cardinals. Just because they're mad at the team and the Cardinals probably they won't sell as many tickets next season, that doesn't mean the interest level has gone down. It just means that some fans are, in effect, protesting and they're just not going to buy as many tickets. But I found out doing radio that in the off season, like some of my download numbers for Cardinals, because I was hitting Cardinals all off season, I was getting these fantastic numbers because Cardinals fans crave the content. In fact, it might be in a lot of ways, it might be just as important in the off season because they don't get as much information. So anyway, thanks for letting me talk about that, but it's going really well. So thanks for asking.
Good. Well, let's get into the Cardinals here.
That's kind of where I was going, Bernie. We have a Cardinals fan here, and as someone who's also a diehard fan of a team that happens to be Cleveland for me, I know that when things aren't going well, you don't want to hear sunshine. You want a voice in the media who can echo that and kind of feel the frustration, not from a fan level, but, you know, be that voice. So do you find that fans more right now are hopeful that this front office regime is coming to an end after this year, or bitter that they have to endure one more year of it?
I think it's both, Jeff, because I can't emphasize enough, and you guys know this, but I can't stress enough how unpopular John Mozeliak is. I mean, people just even I think reasonable fans who aren't so-called haters, even they're just like are counting the days till he's gone. Like he's as disliked as any prominent sports figure in St. Louis I can remember. People are just burned out on him, and they're looking forward to what Chaim Bloom's going to bring. And Chaim Bloom's off to a great start, getting this minor league and player development system restored because he's made some fantastic hires so far. So I think people are looking to the future, but I also think Cardinals fans are just saying, Mozeliak, please don't do any more damage over the next season. Just leave it to Chaim Bloom to make big decisions. And I feel the same way. And I like Mo, man, but he was fantastic for quite a long time in his job, but he just got stale and old in the job and outdated and let things slide and spent money poorly. You know, he stayed too long. That's what it comes down to. And I guess that's Bill DeWitt Jr.'s fault, really, because he stuck with him this long.
Bernie Miklas with us. We're talking Cardinals. He's been in the media in St. Louis for many, many years. So I'm going to mention Mo again, and I'm one of those, I think I'm a reasonable fan who has just come to the end of the line with this guy.
Right.
So what is he thinking? Does he want to try to surprise us and maybe have a better team than we think he can have? Is that his number one goal? Do you think his number one goal is to put this team in the best position he can for the future? How's he balancing that? Maybe, you know, he's probably saying, to heck with you fans. Look what I'm going to try to do that might not be the best in the long term for the Cardinals. I think the best thing in the long term for the Cardinals would be to trade Ryan Helsley, trade Eric Fetty, try to get younger, really kind of regroup. What are your thoughts?
No, I agree with you 100%. See, the problem with John Mozeliak going into this year, at first I thought he was transparent. I thought he was being really straight with the fans. I think when they came out at the end of the last season, and DeWitt, both DeWitts and Chaim Bloom and John Mozeliak, you know, they even said, hey, this could be, you know, we're probably going to take a step back in 2025. You know, we got to give playing time opportunities, many young players as we can. That includes pitchers, position players. That's what 2025 is all about. And meanwhile, we're going to be fixing everything that's going wrong with our minor league system, with the infrastructure and equipment and technology and lack of coaches and instruction. So, listen, I think a lot of Cardinals fans, of course, they want the Cardinals to, like, quote, try to win every year. But I think they understood that this kind of thing was overdue and it's needed. It's absolutely essential that they make some firm determinations about their young players, and they only can do that if they play all the time. But Mozeliak is hedging here, like in the last couple, 3 weeks. You know, he's talking about, well, you know, we think we can be really, really competitive. We think that we can do, we're going to be better than people expect. We think this. He won't come out and say, we think we're going to contend, but he's trying to imply that. So the problem with Mozeliak is he's been in the middle of the road for so long, and he's still trying to walk in the middle of the road instead of just saying, look, this is one of those years. We got to do this. Please be patient with us. We'll come out better for it. But he's hedging. I mean, he's hesitating. Like, to your point, and you know, I've since you watched the YouTube videos, you know I holler about this all the time. Why in the world wouldn't they trade Eric Fetty and Ryan Helsley? I mean, teams out there are going absolutely nuts, crazed to try to get starting pitching. Fetty makes $7.5 million this year. He's a good pitcher. I mean, I know he doesn't strike out everybody, but he's a good pitcher. And he's going to walk after 2025. Scott Boras takes all his clients to free agency. They're not going to get him on a cheap deal. Ryan Helsley, especially with Devin Williams being traded to the Yankees today, Ryan Helsley is the most elite closer available right now. And Ryan Helsley, unless he's willing to take a lot less money, he's going to walk as a free agent after this season. So if you're trying to get younger and you're trying to rebuild the talent pool with players that will help you well into the future, you've got to trade two guys that are going to leave you after 2025. And if you don't, like I said the other day on my YouTube thing, you know, I think it's almost irresponsible not to trade them. But yet they're defiant. Maybe they're playing a game. Maybe they're saying, well, we don't want other teams to think it'll be easy. We expect to get a lot for them. So they still, it's possible that they can still do it. But the problem is, and I know I'm going long, but it's a deep answer because there's a lot in it. Now you have some of the more optimistic Cardinals fans. They're starting to think, well, maybe we can win the division. Maybe we can do this. Maybe we will be better. And I don't think they will be. And so now Mozeliak's setting up another season where he's raising the hopes of fans. A lot of fans aren't falling for it, but some are. And so all it's going to wind up doing is ticking off more of your fans because they need to set this 2025 season aside. They're not tearing it all down where it's going to take 5 or 6 years. They're transitioning. And then you let a new guy who's running the thing take over after 2025. So I can't stand the way he's just hedging rather than just being firm about what 2025 should be about.
Talking now with Bernie Miklas, I'm curious, and I'll bet you do a video about this in the future because it's pretty topical. The National League Central, we saw two big trades inside the division here earlier today. Devin Williams going from the Brewers to the Yankees, where he'll be the closer with Luke Weaver. I don't know what role Luke Weaver will have, maybe co-closer. And then we saw Tucker go from the Astros, Kyle Tucker, go from the Astros to the Cubs, who gave up one of their very top prospects. So that strengthens the Cubs at least for a year. How does this division line up right now? It's very hard for me to pick an obvious winner. You've got Terry Francona coming back to manage Cincinnati. You've got the Pirates, who are building an incredible pitching staff, but they almost sound like they want to trade it. What's going on in the National League Central?
Well, I think it's to be determined because the offseason still got many miles to go. But I think, you know, the Cardinals fans should fear, if that's the word, that the Cubs and their ownership and their general manager are going to get really, real aggressive the rest of the offseason. I think the Kyle Tucker trade represents that. He's a wonderful player. Now, he may leave as a free agent, but the Cubs have the money to keep him. If he wants to stay there, they'll pay. But I think the Cubs got some other moves up their sleeve. I think they're going to just all of a sudden turn up the aggression and be better, be much better going into this coming season than they were last year. In fact, that Craig Counsell kind of knows the lay of the land that will help them. And then I thought today's trade showed you the difference between the Brewers front office, which is excellent, and the Cardinals up front office, which is outdated and stale and stalled and all that stuff. The Brewers are trying to win in 2025, but they recognize that their rotation was vulnerable. And they needed to reinforce that rotation. And so they were willing to trade their walk-year closer for Nestor Cortez, who's a walk-year starter. But that's because the Brewers have a closer already in place. Trevor McGill throws 99. He did a great job for them last year when Williams was hurt. But the Brewers are signaling, hey, this is still our division. You know, we're going to win this division. We're going for it. We're not sitting on the sideline. And they also saved over $4 million by trading Williams to the Yankees for Cortez because the Yankees sent money back, $4.5 million. So here you have the Brewers. They're saying, we're going to win now, and we're going after it. And Devin Williams is one of the top four or five relievers in the game. The Cardinals are going into a transition season, a reset season. They're not going to win the NL Central, and yet they're too afraid to trade Ryan Helsley. And so you tell me who's got the better front office. Does it make any sense? You know, what are the Cardinals afraid of the two teams, the Cardinals should have been the first one to say, well, here's our closer, come and get him. But the Brewers did that. He beat him to the punch. And I remind everyone that since 2017, the Brewers have won a lot more games than the Cardinals, even though they spend a lot less. They've won four division titles. The Cardinals have won two. They've been to the playoffs seven times. The Cardinals have been to the playoffs four times. And again, the Cardinals have spent a lot more money than the Brewers, but the Brewers continue to just make fools of them, in my opinion.
Final moment here with Bernie Miklas, a longtime media person in St. Louis. You can catch him on his YouTube channel on the Scoops Network. He still writes columns. KMOX, our sister station in St. Louis, Bernie's on there a lot as well. So we know the Cardinals are going to go toward it's hard to know exactly with Mozeliak, but we think they're going to go more toward a youth movement. I'm a real honk for Victor Scott. I've loved what you've said about Victor Scott and Michael Cianni. Michael Cianni, as good as he is defensively, is a run-of-the-mill guy, in my opinion. Victor Scott could potentially be a star. That's what I think. Who of these young guys, and I'll give you Walker Gorman and Victor Scott, who do you think is going to pan out if you had to guess? I know you hate guessing, but...
No,
I'm asking you to guess.
I apologize, Bob. No, I'll guess. Well, let me point something out real quick, too. You know, the Cardinals talk about youth movement. And, you know, well, this is a year to play the young guys. And here's the thing, that it's kind of a little bit of a con game, because last year the Cardinals, position players age 25 and younger, played more games and had more plate appearances than in any team in the majors last year. In other words, the youth movement started last year. So they're acting like this is new. It's not new. They started it last year. But anyway, to answer your question, Ivan Herrera should be on that list, because with Contreras playing
right
base, Ivan Herrera's got a great bat. He really has tremendous offensive potential. But I'm afraid Ollie Marmol is going to play Pedro Pages more than Herrera, because Pages probably better defensively, and the veteran pitchers will be whining, you know, if – they don't have the better of the two defensively behind the plate. You got to play Herrera, because his bat could be special. And with Victor Scott, this is why I question the whole youth movement thing. Victor Scott could really elevate this offense, because he can steal a lot of bases. He's so fast in the outfield. They need to work with him, because he didn't get the instruction in the minors to get better reads and better jumps and better routes on the ball. He's starting to hit for power. So if you're setting aside this coming season for a so-called youth movement, why wouldn't Victor Scott be a priority? Because he's got more upside than Mike Cianni. And why wouldn't Ivan Herrera get the lion's share of innings behind the plate? Because, again, you're setting the season aside, and this is a perfect time for him to get better defensively. And you can only do that by playing a lot. And his bat is definitely a plus for this lineup. They contradict themselves, Bob. Just like we were talking about, you know, they really contradict themselves all the time.
All right, I guess I feel better, Bernie. Thank you. I'm going to watch whatever video you put out there today, and probably chomp at the bit and agree with you. And I appreciate what you do, and thank you for coming on the show. And if you send me your address, Bernie, I'll send you a League 42 hat.
All right, hey. I'm all in favor of that for my hat collection. I got some new ones today arrived, by the way. So, no, I appreciate you, Bob and Jeff. You guys call me anytime, man. Thank you. And happy holidays to everybody. Thank you.
You as well.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Bernie Miklas, thank you for indulging me, listeners, as we talk a little Cardinals. Joanna Chadwick joins us from Byte Magazine. her weekly appearance. We put it off a little later today. Joanna, thank you for being on. We got to ask you, we had a caller early in the show asking us about the scoreboard discrepancy at the East Carroll game earlier in the week. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, what it comes down to is that's the official scorebook. I don't know how it wasn't caught before minutes after the buzzer sounds. I've sat at so many score tables in my time that there's that conversation between, hey, no, you got that score wrong, or, you know, how many fouls does so-and-so have and they fix it. So there should be that conversation happening, but you have to go by the official scorebook. I'm not saying it's right, but, you know, we've seen two pretty serious things happen here early in the year, including that and then the technical foul that was called in the Andover Central Salina Central game that had a huge bearing on that game. So obviously there's frustration with those things, but you ultimately have to go with the official book.
I guess that's true, but man, this just changes the game. If the score's tied versus somebody's up by one late in the fourth quarter. But anyway, since we're sort of limited on time, I wrote today about the City League and how, you know, it seems like it's stronger than it's been in several years. We had four teams on the boys' side in Make State. It seems like the girls' side is getting better. Obviously, Heights is very good. Carroll, do you feel that way too? That this is a little bit of a turnaround for the City League.
The City League definitely looks stronger than it has, and you know, we've got the staples certainly that are consistently there. You hope that it's just going to continue to get stronger. I mean, we're used to it being 1-7 at least, you know, and nights where 1-9, you're going to have some really good games. But I thought that Capen girls, on the girls' side, Capen girls beating Wichita South, that bodes well for a stronger City League on the girls' side, I think.
Joanna Chadwick with us from Vibe Magazine. We've got 2-0 East coming off that win over Carroll, that disputed win, facing at Capen Mount Carmel at Capen Mount Carmel tonight. We know East had a good year last year. They made it to the state semifinals.
No, they lost in the first round.
Well, whatever. In my world, they made it. Are they legit? Are they continuing the City League theme? Can they go to Capen and make that a game?
I mean, you know, if this will be one of those games. I mean, we're three games into the season. I mean, we're making some proclamations that are pretty strong at this point. And I mean, and that's, I say that to back up the fact that we don't know yet. We are going to find some things out tonight. That can East go to Capen? Can East go and get that win? I don't see why not. I think that this early in the year, East has shown us some good signs. I like Ismail Berry. I think that, you know, hopefully they can go in and make a game of that, maybe even pull out the win over Capen. Capen's tough to beat, though, and it's at Capen. I mean, that crowd is, that's rough to play there.
Yeah, what should be the conversation around Northwest? Because they've obviously been extremely dominant over their first two games. It was South and North, and I don't know how South's going to be. It seems like North is going to endure several of these type of games. So what is Northwest to you?
Well, I think I can confidently say that they're a team that's going to be, we're going to be watching that line. They just have too much. When you already had Eli Benning, who is a phenomenal point guard and with crazy speed, and they made it to the semifinals of in 6A last year, already you have that experience. And then you get two humongous transfers in River Peters and DJ Brown. My goodness. You know, suddenly you go from a team that's got a great leader to a team with three incredible components. Yeah, we should be talking about them.
Yeah, and I can't wait for their games against Heights. I think Heights has a legitimate pursuer, and obviously Capen too. When you have Northwest Capen at Heights at the top of your league, you've got a pretty good league. So that's going to be very interesting. Andover at McPherson tonight. The thing they have in common, they've lost to Derby already, and that's really impressive for the Panthers. But Andover McPherson, two really good teams. This is an interesting game.
I think that having seen both of them play, I speak with a little bit more confidence that maybe that McPherson is probably going to win this one. I think McPherson has quite a bit of – they've got so many players who can score in a variety of ways that I just don't think that Andover has that kind of depth. Josh Kim is obviously an outstanding player, but I think that McPherson is just, they're a really good team. And, you know, Derby walked away with a win over them, and they've got to feel very good about that.
Did you or anybody at the Eagle during the time you were covering high school sports, did you ever do a feature, a real deep dive into the Pyle family and the Pyle legacy with McPherson basketball?
I didn't, but, you know, I was more on the beginning of that. And I mean, I don't know the history of the Pyle beyond, you know, my later years covering there, because I left in 2015-16 season would have been my last. But there's just been Pyle after Pyle after Pyle since then. And earlier on, it wasn't like this. I mean, they were really good, but there's just a lot of them.
Be a good, good.
Yeah,
good
I'm not story. Sure how far back it goes either.
It goes way back, like to ancestors, like the first people to walk the earth.
Hey, I already made that joke.
Were Pyle basketball. You when? When did you
In
make
my it? Previous Friday Five? You should have read that
Look,
one.
I didn't read it.
You're just piling on there. Right now.
Very good, Joanna.
Well done.
Thank you.
That was almost a scoop.
Well,
now see, I ruined it.
Yeah, I didn't get it.
You scoop a Pyle.
You're trying to shovel yourself out of that one.
There you go. Joanna, thank you. We'll talk to you. We'll give you a longer segment next week, I promise.
God, I hope so.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Joanna Chadwick from Byte Magazine, talking some high school basketball. We'll get back to her next Friday. That's the 20th. We still have games next Friday.
So. There's a lot Thursday, though, I think, too.
Yeah, there could be. But we'll be able to kind of recap this pre-Christmas schedule.
Absolutely.
It goes by, man. The time flies. I can't believe we're at December 13th already.
Crazy.
But here we are. Thanks for listening today, everyone. We appreciate it very much. We'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend.